Welcome to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for joining us. We're talking today about something none of us enjoys, but all of us have to deal with, bills. Today's topic is water bills. Baltimore City plans to raise its rates starting this fall under a three-year plan that would also add two new fees, among other changes. Water rates would rise by 9.9% each of those 3 years, and sewer rates would go up by 9.4% annually. Surrounding counties that use city water, including all of Baltimore County, will also likely see changes to their bills. The Department of Public Works also plans to go from billing quarterly to billing monthly. And the department wants to get rid of minimum billing for water usage. That means bills for some frugal water users may go down rather than up, according to the DPW. The plan goes before the Board of Estimates on August 31st, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Meanwhile, the city's water and sewer pipes are in fairly dire shape. Many of the largest water mains are 75 years old. Some date back to the Civil War. On an average day in Baltimore, two or three water mains break. And then there's the sewage overflow problem. Millions of gallons of untreated sewage flow into the harbor every year. The city was supposed to have fixed its faulty sewer system this year under a federal consent decree, but failed to do so. The deadline was recently extended to 2030. How far will this new rate hike go in fixing Baltimore's water and sewer infrastructure? How much will the average resident's bill rise? If you've got questions or concerns about water bills, this is a great time to call. Give us a call at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. Because my guest today is Jeff Raymond, Chief of Communications and Community Affairs for the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. Welcome back to Midday.
Well, thank you. Great to be with you.
I'm glad you could join us. The last rate increase was 42% over 3 years.
It was a 15% raise in 2013, followed by 11% raises in 14 and 15.
And now, why are you already looking for another rate increase? I mean, you just went through 3 years of rate increases.
When we do our increases, we packaged a three-year bundle last year, just because it seemed easier in a sense to do that bundle all at once rather than come back each and every year. Now, we are able to justify, we believe, in our financial reports and so forth, why we need those increases. But having gone through that latest bundle 3 years ago, we see a need to again revisit those rates. And so we're asking for a combined 9.4%, 9.9% on the water, 9% on the sewer. But really, and you touched on this before, we're changing the bill pretty dramatically. And that's going to have a real impact beyond the rates going up. And as you mentioned, in many cases, it's going to go down. A bill will actually go down because of the way we're making these changes.
Explain that.
Okay. Right now, a lot of people are paying a minimum charge. In other words, even if they don't use their allotment of water, they have to pay for that full allotment. Typically, that's 10 CCF or 10 units of 100 cubic feet. It's a lot of numbers to remember. But in many cases,
Can you tell me in gallons?
748 gallons in one unit.
So you have to you pay for at least 748
almost 7,500 gallons of water over a 3 month period.
No matter how much you actually use. That's changing.
And in small households, it's almost impossible to use that amount of water. Yet, our customers have been paying for that amount. And that's if you have a 5/8-inch meter, and because we do bill by meter size to make things even more complicated. This system just has a flat fee
The system you're proposing, the new system.
Right.
Has a flat fee for water, and you plan to recoup the cost of the pipes? And recoup the cost of billing, of the activity of sending bills in separate fees.
Fees. We have an account administration fee, which covers the costs of billing, of really maintaining each and every account. And we have approximately 400,000 accounts between the city and the county. Those all need to be maintained. We also have an infrastructure fee that reflects the cost of providing the service, not just the water itself that we deliver to your faucets, but also the cost of bringing it there, the pipes, the treatment plants. And this goes for on the sewer side as well, where we have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that we're treating that water.
Yeah, and we're going to we'll talk a lot more about that. But I want to understand, as I recall, I read that these new charges you're breaking out, mm-hmm. the infrastructure charge and the billing and the administrative charge.
Right.
That is supposed to be revenue neutral. Unlike the rate increase, those charges are not designed to bring in extra revenue.
This whole program is designed to be revenue neutral. What's happening now is those fees for infrastructure, for administration, that's all baked into that minimum charge. So you don't see it. You don't necessarily feel, well, you feel it when you pay your bill, but it's not listed as a line item. With our new bill, you'll see it pulled out. And every month, you'll see exactly what it is you're paying for, the water that you consume, as well as those fees for the infrastructure.
So when you tell me that some people will actually pay less,
mm-hmm.
they'll be winners of that part of the new system. I presume there have to be just as many losers or losers. There will be some people who will pay more with a separate infrastructure charge and a separate billing charge.
That's correct.
Describe to me the customer who loses. What kind of customer ends up paying more with this system? What type of customer ends up paying less?
It all depends on where you fit in terms of how much water you use, the way you consume water, whether it's industrial, whether it's residential, all sorts of different ways that you consume water. What we've done is we've put on our website a rate calculator that allows people to go right online, put in the size of their meter and their water consumption, and it will reflect what they're paying now and what they will be paying after this new billing goes into effect.
This is Midday on WIPR, and that voice you just heard is Jeff Raymond, Chief of Communications for the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. We're talking about water and sewer rates heading up. You can join the conversation with a call to 410-662-8780 or an email to midday@wypr.org. We already had a caller who couldn't stay with us. Marie wanted to know the money that came in from the rate increase cycle that you just described that mm-hmm. finished. What was it spent on?
It's gone toward a number of projects that we've begun. First of all, well, let's talk about what's happening on our water side. We're very pleased to say that we are replacing at least 15 miles of water mains in our city each and every year. In fact, this past fiscal year, we did more than 19 miles of water main replacement and repair. So we are fixing, getting ahead of the game in terms of those problematic areas in our water infrastructure.
But let me just make sure we keep the context.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 4,000 miles.
Between the city and the county. That's correct.
Between the city and the county. About the same number of miles or more miles.
Slightly
in
more
county.
In the county. It's much bigger distances. Geographic area.
So 4,000 miles in the system, and your goal is 15 a year. You got a little bit ahead of that.
15 in the city, right.
You did 19.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tiny in the total number of...
Well, sure, but year by year, we're getting to these. We can only move so fast. We can only do so many at a time. We'd love to do more, and we're pleased that we got to 19. But 15 compared to what we had been doing is quite aggressive.
But is this, I mean, essentially should, well, let me ask not so much how customers should look at it, but does this, do the people who run the system look at it as an eternal job? This
yes.
is Sisyphus. You're just constantly,
absolutely.
By the time
and we
you...
got away from that. We have not, if you look back over the decades and generations, we got away from reinvesting in our infrastructure. The lines were put in almost fits and starts. A lot was done 60, 70, 80 or more years ago, but not a whole lot since then. So it's important that we go back and start rebuilding, reinvesting in that infrastructure, because it is in desperate need of repair in many of these cases.
You said the system got away from it. When did it get back to, I mean, was there not the kind of goal of X number of miles per year?
That's exactly right.
When was it reinstituted?
Well, fairly recently, under the term of Director Chow, we got a lot more aggressive about realizing the need to invest. We got serious about it. We also, frankly, ran into regulatory concerns, both sewer and water. We have to protect our drinking water supply. That's why we're spending part of the money we've raised over the years on a project going on right now to convert the Guilford drinking water reservoir into covered tanks. We'll also be doing that in the months and years ahead at Druid Lake and Lake Ashburton.
So will those not be lakes anymore?
They will still. In the case of Guilford, it'll be enclosed entirely. In the case of Druid Lake, we're putting two tanks in the western end of that lake and preserving about 80% of it for open water potential recreation uses. And in Lake Ashburton, we're putting tanks in the park to the immediate north of the lake, and that lake will also be preserved, not as drinking water, but as a lake, a nice amenity for the community.
What is the danger of an open reservoir? What is it that you're trying to avoid?
Well, you have much greater control over that water. It's been gone through the treatment process, so it is clean, it's ready to go, but it's sitting out there exposed to the elements. So in addition to the obvious birds flying over, you hope not to have runoff because they're inside of a sloped area, but it is exposed to the elements.
Have there been diseases?
No, we haven't. Now, we do treat that water with chlorine on its way out to make sure that it is still safe when it goes out. But by encapsulating it in these large buried underground tanks, we make sure that we have that extra degree of safety and health protection.
We have to take a quick break here. Obviously, lots more to talk about with Jeff Raymond of the Department of Public Works and lots of people who want to be part of this conversation. You can, too. What do you think about the proposed changes to water bills in Baltimore? What is your impression? We haven't talked yet about smart meters. What do you think of them? Send us an email at midday@wypr.org or phone us at 410-662-8780. I'm Sheila Cass. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about the plan by the Baltimore City Department of Public Works to raise water and sewer rates and alter the rate structure. The city provides water to 1.8 million people in Baltimore City and five surrounding counties, including all of Baltimore County. My guest is Jeff Raymond, Chief of Communications and Community Affairs for the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. And lots of people want to be part of this conversation. You can, too. You can call us at 410-662-8780 or send an email to midday@wypr.org. Tom has called us from Parkville. Tom, welcome to Midday.
Hi.
Hi.
Wondering if there's a difference in how city residents and county residents will be billed.
I think it's quite different, Tom. Jeff Raymond?
That's correct. The county sets its own rates for its residents. We do provide them with water, and we do handle the billing for water. But all that we get from our county customers directly is a charge for the water that they consume. We don't see on that bill sewer charges. We don't see the infrastructure that's baked into that bill that I was talking about. That comes on the county property tax bill. So once a year, all of those other charges are swept up by the county, and then there's a transfer of funds from the county to the city at the end of each fiscal year.
So in other words, the county sets what it thinks the right rates are.
Mm-hmm.
And if the revenue that brings in doesn't actually cover the cost, they make good on it to the city?
Well, we obviously we work with them to make sure that the costs are being met. So the bottom line is, a lot of times people think, well, since my friend in the county is only paying so much per quarter, that means that they pay less for all this service. What it actually means is they're paying more on their property tax bill. Here in
they're
the city,
it's a different system.
It's a different billing system, whereas here in the city, all the costs associated with water and sewer are put on the bill.
James has called us from Towson. James, I don't know whether we have answered your question or not.
No, my question is basically that I've been having water bills, and I've been told that it takes around 30 business days to get it correct. So as we transition from one method to another, how are you guys planning on handling any issues that come up?
Sure.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, we are already beefing up our customer support and service staff. We've been hiring. We've been training. We're getting ready for an ability to handle these questions and turn them around more quickly. So we're very pleased with what we'll be able to do for our customers moving forward.
But, I mean, I think James is saying, because one of the things in the handouts that you just showed me, these very lovely pages that the department has printed up, I hadn't picked up in the reading I'd done that everybody's account number is going to change.
Right.
I mean, right off the bat, that just seems like enormous confusion built in for this transition. Why are you so confident that it's going to be smooth?
Well, I'm not sure that everybody lives and dies by their water bill account number. I have no idea what mine is, and I've been paying the same bill on the same account for 14 years or so now. If I need to know it, it's there on my bill. I will also have access, as everyone else will, to an online portal where I'll be able to look up my account information, including my billing history, my usage history. And so I will have all that information readily available to me.
Well, Susan is calling us from East Point with, I think, a point about why some people are skeptical about this. Susan, welcome to Midday.
Hi.
Hello, Susan.
My concern is, even with this new billing, is the error rate with Baltimore City bills. My water bill at one time went from $27 to $4,000. I did send in an appeal. The day of the appeal, they lowered my bill by $3,900. So I canceled my appeal because I was thankful that they did not charge me the $3,900. But now my problem is I'm being charged close to $12,000 on sewage, when last year was $350. I do realize that it was a 15% rate increase on sewage for Baltimore County this year. But from going to $300 to close to $12,000 is ridiculous. I had an appeal in for 6 weeks, and nobody will help me. And I had two plumbing inspections, two different plumbers, to find out what the problem is. I really think the problem's with Baltimore City. It's ridiculous. I'm talking about a 1,200 square foot home with 1.5 baths.
There needs to be, Susan,
thank you.
Coordination between the county and the city, because remember, the sewer portion of the bill is billed by the county based on water consumption. And in cases like that, we just need to make sure that we're working more closely with our partners in the county to get situations like that.
Okay, but there have been, Baltimore City residents have complained about incorrect water bills for years. In 2012, the city auditor found that DPW had overcharged thousands of homes and businesses by a total of at least $9 million, as I understand it. Tell me if that's wrong. But why? I mean, what have been the billing problems, and how will that change with the new system?
You mentioned the problems there. First of all, those overcharges have been refunded.
Right.
Second, we've gone to great expense and effort to install a better, newer generation of water meter under our Baltimeter program. So we have new meters that are wirelessly transmitting data every hour, so that we have not just an every 3 month reading, we have an every 60 minute reading. So we are able to look and see really what is happening at that particular account. Again, with more data, we have more knowledge to figure out what's going on, and we can spot the problems and work on solutions.
Does every account now have one of these new smart meters?
We are substantially complete in the city with the residentials.
In the city?
In the city, and we are installing in the county, and probably a couple of months from being substantially completed with the residential customers in the county.
And what – so most of the new meters have been in place for about how long?
In the city, most over a year now.
And what are you seeing in terms of accuracy of bills? Is it night and day?
Well, it's not night and day, because remember, before the system was send people out to go uncover the meter vault, look at the meter, write down the numbers, cover the vault up, move to the next one, and then at the end of the day, dump all that information into our system. What we have now is a much faster system, and it's much more efficient. So that's really where we're getting to this. And in those transcribing errors are essentially gone, to the extent that
transcribing errors, you mean?
Meaning reading the number on the meter,
writing it down,
and then getting it into the system. Those steps are gone. The data just comes to us automatically now. So we're skipping several steps. We're getting it quicker, and we're getting it much more reliable than what it was before.
I got to tell you that part of what makes me, I don't know whether it's fair to say skeptical, but just a little befuddled by the system, is that you're describing what sounds like state-of-the-art technology in reading the meters. And yet, as I understand it, you will not bill people electronically, and they will not be able to pay their bills electronically, even with the new system. Or am I wrong?
We're not sending out electronic bills yet.
People
can pay online. People can pay online now.
Okay. People can pay online.
Absolutely.
But they're still going to get
a paper bill.
Even though they can see online what they owe.
Yes.
They still are going to get a paper bill. That sounds very quaint.
We want to make sure that all of our customers are getting the bill. There's a lot of changes happening all at once. To suddenly go from a paper bill to an electronic bill.
With a new number, a new customer number.
With a new customer number, a new set of fees that have been pulled out of that minimum. There's a lot happening. So I'm not saying that we'll never get to electronic billing, but it's not going to be one of the first things that we do.
This is Midday on WIP. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Baltimore City Department of Public Works spokesman Jeff Raymond about water and sewer bills, how they're going to be going up. Maybe some aren't going to be going up. You can join the conversation with an email to midday@wipr.org or a phone call to 410-662-8780. Ronald has called us from Baltimore. Ronald, welcome to Midday.
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Ronald. You're on the air.
I've called because I am very concerned about the rate increases and the fact that I am receiving Social Security and I'm 100% disabled veteran. And last year and a couple of years before that, we did not get a cost of income increase. But yet the rates go up. And I haven't heard anyone say that there's anything that can help those folks that are in the same shape that I am.
Ronald, I appreciate your calling. Let's ask Jeff Raymond about that.
I don't know the details of Mr. Ronald's situation, but we do offer and have for many years now assistance programs for low-income seniors as well as for other low-income customers who need help with our with billing. In fact, we are proposing to raise the income threshold for low-income seniors to be eligible for assistance with their bills.
To raise the income threshold?
To raise the income threshold from $25,000 to $30,000. So we hope to be able to offer assistance for
to more people.
Low-income seniors to more people. They will be eligible. If they're eligible, they'll get 43% off their water and sewer consumption. And our low-income assistance is a one-time grant for people who qualify. That will go from $179 a year to $197 a year, almost $200 a year for families who qualify.
Ronald, I appreciate your calling. We just got an email from Kathy who writes, water is becoming more unaffordable for these low-income borrowers in spite of DPW programs. What is the department's position on instituting a water affordability program for homeowners below the poverty level? Do you think we are getting to a point where we need to charge low-income customers based on their incomes? I know other states have these affordability programs.
I've heard of those programs. They're being tried. I don't know. I don't have the data to show to what degree they're meeting with success. But again, at this point, we are working with our customers, again, with these low-income assistance programs. And even people who don't qualify for low-income assistance, should they fall behind and need some help to catch up, we can set up payment programs. So we are working to identify those people who need assistance and work with them to make sure that they get it. And we'd like to make it even simpler.
And the people who are on a payment program now, will that transfer
with
the new billing system?
It absolutely will. Absolutely.
Dennis has called us from Baltimore. Dennis, welcome to Midday. Dennis?
Yes, I'm sorry.
You're on the air.
Thank you very much. And no, the issue I have may have been addressed before. Last year, I complained about my bill being out of line with my usage of water. So I went down to the water department, and I was politely told that my bill represents $150 whether I use a gallon of water or 15 gallons or 130 gallons. It starts at $150. But Baltimore County, I have friends in Baltimore County who are paying a third of that.
And why
is that?
Let me ask Jeff Raymond to address that. Thanks, Dennis.
Yeah, again, that's the minimum structure, the minimum rate structure that we discussed earlier, where depending on meter size, you have a certain amount of water that is given to you every quarter, and you pay for that water whether you use it or not.
That's and the county has not been using a system like that recently?
Again, the county, you pay for the water.
Right.
Only just the commodity that shows up when you turn on your faucet. the sewer, the all the infrastructure, all of that is shows up on their property tax bills. And in the city, all of our water and sewer is done on our bills. It's not part of the property tax.
So it's hard to compare overall bills in the city versus the county.
When you do compare, it comes out about even between city and county, what they pay overall.
Another point of comparison, I'm not sure we've mentioned, you're going to monthly billing. In fact, the city council just approved that yesterday.
That's correct.
Why?
Well, it's much more convenient for customers. Rather than having to come up with, as you're hearing, hundreds of dollars every 3 months, people will be able to know that their water bill is part of their monthly expenses. And it will be there. It won't be a surprise. It won't be something that they have to put into savings. It'll be something that that recurs, and they can plug it into their budget much more easily.
As I mentioned, there's a hearing scheduled before the Board of Estimates 2 weeks from tomorrow, 9 a.m., I think.
I believe so.
We'll hear what people think about all of this. Have you gotten any feedback? Have people been clamoring for more frequent bills? More frequent bills that presumably would be lower?
Well, yeah, I think people are starting to realize that that does work to their benefit. Not only is it a much more regular bill, but those problems that people refer to, either leaks or line breaks or any other problem, they don't have to wait several months to find that problem. They'll be able to deal with it before it becomes a huge issue. In my case, I had a water line break on my property, and I had 3 months of water leak under my property, didn't know about it, and until I got my bill for almost $900.
I ask because I've seen comments on some of the comment sections of news coverage about the proposed changes that some people think, well, the monthly bill is just going to make it impossible for me to compare. It's just another way of confusing us, has been the reaction of some people. I'm not saying it's a widespread reaction, but I'm wondering what you're hearing.
Well, again, we can't help it. We're going to have to start one system and stop another. So there is going to be a transition. But at the same time, we're confident that once people get used to this, it'll work much more smoothly. Again, pretty much every bill that we pay is paid monthly. I can't think of another bill that I pay regularly anyway that I pay on a quarterly basis.
We have to take another short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about some of Baltimore's water and sewer infrastructure and some changes that are coming to how residents pay for that. Join our conversation. Send an email to midday@wypr.org or call us 410-662-8780. If you've already called, hang on. We will get to you. We'll be right back. I'm Sheila Cassie. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. If you're just joining us, we're talking today about a plan to raise rates and change the way residents of Baltimore City and perhaps the counties around it are billed for water and sewer services. I'm speaking with Jeff Raymond, Chief of Communications and Community Affairs for the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. We have lots of people who want to join this conversation. We're taking calls at 410-662-8780 and emails at midday@wypr.org. The Baltimore Sun recently reported that the city forgave a $1.5 million overdue water bill from the former operators of Sparrows Point as part of a lawsuit. Before I ask you whether there's anything you would say to people who are upset about that, let's talk to James, who's called us from Baltimore. James, welcome to Midday.
Good afternoon, Sheila. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The gentleman said he doesn't know of anything that gets paid quarterly. I pay my auto insurance and my homeowner's insurance quarterly. But aside from that point, there's no information that comes out with your bill stating assistance for low-income individuals. That's poor communication on their part. because people are not aware of those programs. So that should be sent out with water bills whenever they get sent out. That doesn't happen. So people don't even know about that, number one. So the water department needs to have better communications people to the community. And that gentleman should make a note of that. Secondly.
Already done so. Thank you.
Secondly, the organizations within Baltimore City that have large water bills that they haven't paid. We've heard about those. A lot of different organizations have water bills that are astronomical and they haven't paid. What is the water department doing about not forgiving those but collecting those funds, as opposed to what a lot of us who pay on time feel is gouging? Because I don't have a rate a cost of living increase of 30% in 3 years. I haven't had a cost of living increase in 10 years. So when you talk about rate increases and you've done it already and you want to do it again, we as citizens, taxpaying citizens, we feel we're being gouged, and the city is not utilizing the funds that we're giving them by paying our taxes.
James, I really appreciate you posing the question. Jeff Raymond.
The last point about taxes is interesting and frustrating, I understand. It's important, though, that in the city, taxes are completely separate from the water bills. The water utility is its own standalone agency and does not receive or contribute to the city's general fund. In terms of our larger commercial customers, we do work with them, and should they become delinquent, they are subject to late fees, penalties, and ultimately shut off. Over the years, we had not done that. It was just last year that we made a point of making sure that we were going after some of those larger commercial customers. We were able to collect millions and millions of dollars without doing turnoffs. I don't have a good answer for why it was not done in the past. I think when you look at the number of customers that we have, most of them are residential. They're families. So that's where the enforcement probably went to. In the past year or so, again, under Director Chow, he said, you know, people are right when they complain that we have not gone after those commercial accounts, and we have done a much better job of doing that.
Sue has called us with a question that I think overlaps in part with something that James raised. Sue, welcome to Midday.
Hi.
Hi.
My question was, when was the last time you've actually audited yourself to see where else you can save money rather than dipping in our pockets yet again? And I did have a question, too, about how many corporations or nonprofits are you giving discounts to? But the one comment I want to say about the monthly bill, if you're not giving us the option to have an automatic bill pay, you are making it much more harder for us having another monthly bill. There should be an automatic bill pay system that we can have. If it needs to be adjusted, then we can. Thank you.
Sue, let me just ask you before I let you go. If it's one thing to have an automatic bill pay for a standard charge like a subscription, but since your water usage is going to change, do you really want an automatic debit from your account?
Yes, I want an automatic bill pay. I can set it up for a minimum amount. If it goes over, then I can catch that up.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you're setting us up for late fees.
Okay, Sue, I appreciate the question. Your response. Sue asks about automatic charges, automatic bill pay. Is that in the cards?
I'm not aware of any plans to do that. Again, as you noted, we have to send out a bill that reflects that month's usage. And so, again, that can vary from month to month, probably will vary from month to month, depending on summer. And it so we can't make that.
She's suggesting a system where there would be a minimum beyond which she would be notified, but if not, there would be an automatic debit.
Well, all of our customers, again, are welcome to pay electronically through their banks, through the city's payment portal in in the city's Department of Finance. So paying online electronically is still an option.
She also wants to know about nonprofits getting discounts. Doesn't happen.
On our stormwater, we offer discounts for religious institutions. but no other discounts for nonprofits. I will mention that our large customers have for years and years and years received discounts on their water consumption above a certain level. I think it's 450 units
a volume
per
discount.
Quarter, a volume discount. That's going away. Baltimore is one of the last water agencies to offer that what's called a declining block rate. We're no longer going to provide a discount for large volumes of water used quarterly or monthly. So a unit of water will be a unit of water across the board.
And so
for
that's,
all of our
that's
customers.
Going to result then in higher bills for large users of water.
For some of them, it may. And again, our rate calculator is available to all of our customers on our website, publicworks.baltimorecity.gov. Click on the bill, the water rate page, and you'll see the calculator.
The calculator. Chris is calling from Baltimore with. Chris, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, Chris.
Yeah, so I have several comments. I'm a Baltimore City resident, and I object to your statements that basically you're doing me a favor by going to be sending me a bill monthly. Who doesn't know that the water bill comes every 3 months? What jurisdiction is there that doesn't bill every 3 months? I mean, that's just a rationalization. And that would be okay if I thought you were actually doing me a service. But in fact, I'm a single male. I live in a single family home. Every bill I come says minimal usage, whatever it is, 5 units, I believe. And yet I'm billed $160.
That's why we're getting rid of it.
Just a minute, please. Right now I'm paying that every 2 months. And so now, so in other words, basically you have tripled my water bill. Already tripled it. You've gone from billing me four times a year to 6 times a year right now. Now you're going to bill me 12 times a year. So you are going to increase my rate by 600%?
Not even close. Not even close. First of all, the monthly bill is, it's much more consumer-friendly in terms of it fitting into a monthly household budget. Second, the minimum billing model is going to go away so that you will see the water you consume, you'll pay for that water, and you will see the fixed charges for the account management and for the infrastructure investment. That will be on your bill, and you will see it, and it'll be much more easy to understand. And we'll get rid of the situation in which people with one or two people in their houses pay as much as their neighbors with 3 and 4 kids.
So your expectation would be that someone like Chris
will
pay
go down
less,
dramatically.
Pay less, even though they are
absolutely.
Paying every month. I want to ask you before our time is gone about the federal consent decree governing Baltimore City's sewer system. It was first drawn up in 2002. The city was supposed to stop allowing raw sewage into local waterways. The deadline was just extended to 2030. Why wasn't 14 years enough?
It hasn't been enough for almost any sewer consent decree across the country. It's not at all unusual for these consent decrees to last for a couple of decades, just because of the amount of work that has to happen, because of the expense of the work. We're talking, probably a couple billion dollars or more all in to make this happen. Now, we are very optimistic that we have a plan in place that is realistic, that is tough, but doable. And we're going to do it in a way that doesn't gouge our ratepayers unnecessarily. We actually think that by extending it out, we're going to be able to extend out the cost of this so that we don't continue to have these 43% over 3 year increases. We're bringing down the acceleration of our rate increases. We still do have to ask our ratepayers, our customers, for more, unfortunately, because there is more work to be done. But by having a longer period to pay, we can get rid of some of that sticker shock.
The city has a goal of a fishable, swimmable harbor by 2020. Is that now out the window, given that the deadline for actually fixing the sewer system is 2030?
One of the projects that we're doing, and it should begin, if not late this year, then early next year, is the Headworks project at our Back River wastewater treatment plant. That essentially is going to expand the capacity of that plant and eliminate more than 80% of the overflows into our streams and harbor. So that one project alone is going to go a long way toward cleaning the harbor. In terms of swimmable, fishable, I always ask people, well, when have you talked to people who ever swam in the harbor? It's been industrial before it became a showpiece. We're working to turn around generations of pollution in the inner harbor, and looking forward, it's going to get nothing but better.
We have just a couple minutes left. Gary from Baltimore, can you make your point quickly?
Okay. For about a dozen years, when I at the Baltimore Symphony, when it was playing at the Lyric Theater, I sat next to the man who's credited for saving more lives than anybody else during the 20th century, Abel Woolman. It was his idea to add chlorine, when the world's deadliest but unstable elements, to water to kill germs and whatnot. Bottom line, considering how many millions and millions of people have died from unsafe drinking water, I think, and whatever we're asked to pay, it should count as a savings and a blessing. Thank you.
Thanks for that kudo, Gary. Do you want to respond to Gary?
People have grown so accustomed to having clean, safe, reliable water service that they do take it for granted. If you look at it in our rates, and it's there's numerous pages of numbers and text, but people will be paying less than $2.50 per unit for water. And that's almost 750 gallons of water for about $2.50. Again, safe, pure, reliable. It's almost
note,
a miracle.
We'll close this conversation. I'm sorry we didn't get to all the questions. I will pass them on to Jeff Raymond. Jeff Raymond, Chief of Communications and Community Affairs for the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. Thank you very, very much for spending the hour with
us. Certainly. Thanks for inviting me.
I also want to thank Joe Squared for providing lunch. Joe Squared serves coal-fired pizzas, risotto, local craft beers, locations, and hours at joesquared.com. And thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow. Hearing loss is more widespread than we used to think, but only about 1 out of 5 people who could benefit from hearing aids wears them, mostly because they're so expensive. We'll speak with a Johns Hopkins expert about coming changes in regulations that might change that. I'm Sheila Cast. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Midday is produced by Maureen Harvey and Andrea Appleton. The show is engineered by Luke Spicknall. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming are available at WYPR.org. or on demand using the WYPR app. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.